You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/@commonfangbr. You can also find us now as the official Nebraska podcast of the College Huddle. The College Huddle has quickly become the largest independent online college sports community, and we are so excited to be part of it. Check out thecollegehuddle.com to learn more, to see the Common Fan page, to see what other teams are represented. There's all kinds of good stuff on there. Hey, Common Fans, Geoff in Lincoln made savory beef kebabs on the grill recently. The Burkles had delicious beef hot dogs for dinner just tonight, while the Owens household enjoyed juicy, tender steaks. What do all these things have in common? They all come from certified Piedmontese, of course. Stop by your local butcher shop at 30th and Yankee Hill or 84th and Havelock in Lincoln, and also at 162nd and Maple in Omaha. You can also go to cpbeef.com to get certified Piedmontese products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Grilling season is just getting started, Common Fans, so get to your local Mercado butcher shop or visit cpbeef.com. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan podcast. Friend of the program, Brandon Vogel is back. Brandon, I've got to say, we are thoroughly enjoying the Counter Read newsletter. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. We're almost 7 or 8 months into this at that point. And it's been fun to do. We're kind of building a nice little community over there, we think. So be good to get the spring game. And then I kind of love the off season because it allows me to take on some projects in terms of like deeper dives and things to write about. It's not as much news necessarily. So I've always enjoyed that time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really love your approach. You really seem to dive into the data and the analytics and the research, and I think it's a unique angle that not very many people are doing the way you do it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I love nothing more than spring football's great because we get a lot of access to the coaches and the players, and you know somebody somewhere is going to say something that's kind of like, well, let's check into that. Let's test that hypothesis or whatever it may be. So yeah. It's a fun time.
Absolutely. Well, go to counterread.com, Common Fans, sign up for the newsletter, and you should consider the paid subscription, which is only $7 a month and will get you access to all the great stuff being put out by Brandon and Aaron Sorensen. We here at the Common Fan Podcast are thoroughly enjoying it, like I said. So check it out, Common Fans. To your point about diving in and checking what our dear friends are saying during spring ball, Brandon, you had a piece a couple of weeks ago titled "Best Defense in the Country," you say. And I loved how you talked about, well, it's spring, and so literally everybody's talking about how they want to be the best defense and the best offense and the best everything in the country. But in this piece, you said, quote, "best isn't out of the question for the Blackshirts this season," unquote. That will have many Common Fans frothing at the mouth this 2024 offseason. Tell us your thinking on this.
Yeah, so Tony White said that, and it was one of those Taylor Moore made times where I was like, okay. I mean, obviously Nebraska was quite good defensively in 2023. I'd kind of forgotten or maybe just looked past that in the SP Plus ratings, so opponent adjusted, a power rating that's out there from ESPN and Bill Connolly, they were sixth, which is a little bit better than I would have guessed. So I'm like, okay, well, if you're sixth, you're within striking distance, and they return a ton of the production from last year. I think if you wanted to look at reasons why it might be tough to get to the top, you know, you don't have that Randy Gregory, Ndamukong Suh, Prince Amukamara type where you know going into the year, it's like, yeah, this guy's probably a first-round draft pick. So you're missing that. Doesn't mean that one can't emerge during the season. And, you know, if you're a really great team defense, maybe you don't need that guy as much as you would typically expect. But really, I think getting to number one or close to it defensively in 2024 probably has as much to do with the offense and special teams as anything else. And that's kind of what my research ended up pointing me to after Tony White said that.
Well, we'd love to get into that in just a minute. I've got one other more defensive focused question for you first. So Mitch Sherman was on the show recently, and when we asked him about the defense, he actually had, I thought it was a slightly different take than what we've heard from others. And it was a little bit more, I guess, maybe a little more reality or a dose of reality, shall we say. And he just pointed out that we played some really bad offenses in 2023 and suggested maybe if we had been in a different conference or just flat out played some better offenses, you know, the numbers may not have been as strong for 2023. Now I should point out, he pointed out, you know, they still took a huge leap in 2023. Tony White deserves a ton of credit, and there's lots of reasons to be optimistic about 2024. So he wasn't dogging on anything that they did in 2023. But just kind of an interesting take there. But if they are going to take another leap and get better, still from what they were statistically in 2023, what needs to get better on the defensive side of the ball?
I mean the big glaring weakness, and it's relative because they were pretty strong in a lot of other things. And Matt Rhule talked about that just recently, with third downs, which, you know, third downs are easy to look at. They show you right there in the box score at the end of the game. And I thought Rhule was pretty good talking about it. He's like, you know, going 40% on third down, that's trouble. And Nebraska was at, I think, 37, something like that in 2023. But if you do that on 20 attempts defended, not too bad, because that means you're not giving up a ton of explosive plays. And the defense or the opposing offense was still in third down 20 times. If they're 4 for 10, you probably got worked pretty good. So there's that piece of it. Matt Rhule, you know, kind of attributed it to being able to get a pass rush with your four down linemen, which is pretty big, and then being able to play man coverage in the secondary. I think Nebraska's defensive line is going to be pretty good. And secondary was obviously very good last year, but they're bringing in a couple of new players there. So we'll see, but, they know that was a weakness. I think it's the one that jumps off the page. They'll continue talking about, getting more takeaways, which sure. It's spring. Every other team's talking about that too. It's kind of one of those things that becomes a little bit tough to control.
Well, I mean, as you pointed out, we all know the defense is, you know, as good as can be. And I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with Mitch there. I feel like that's a slight on Nebraska. I'm more on the Brandon Vogel side of things here.
I think we're
going to be just fine this next.
Jeff,
I think we're going to be just fine.
You were there, Jeff. I don't think he meant it. I don't think he meant it super negatively.
I mean, it's a fair point. We're not talking about vintage Big 12 here in terms of sure. Big 10 offensively. I mean, right. Michigan's probably the best offense they played. Colorado was up there. Northern Illinois ended up having a really good offense in the MAC once they got into conference play. But I just looked at this today for something else, actually. In a yards per play basis, Nebraska held whatever the level of the offense was, it held 11 of 12 teams below its season average in yards per play. The one outlier, which I think really points to just how tough of a loss that game was Michigan State. And that was not a good offense going into that game.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, you know, speaking of the defense and what we can do to help them out, I mean, you point this out yourself, is that the one thing that could dramatically help the defense is just a better offense, all in all. Better offense means better field position. It means more rest for the defense so they're not constantly on the damn field, among other things. So I guess for the Huskers to win, say, I don't know, two or three more games, put us in that magical bowl position that we're all frothing at the mouth for, How much better does the offense need to be from where we were last year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways to measure it. And I looked at a couple in a story from last week. But I mean, really, when it gets down to it, you're talking about points at the end of the day. Nebraska was at 18 points a game last year. If the defense, and the defense was right there too. I mean, I think Nebraska was outscored by 3, fittingly, on the year, given the meeting that number has been given this offseason in Nebraska circles. So, you know, you increase that to 24, all of a sudden you got a 6 point per game scoring differential. You know, you're probably, unless you just get some really bad luck or some bad breaks, you're probably going to go 8-4 with a 6 point scoring differential. Anything more than that, well, then you're scratching the surface, I think, of what we would all consider a pretty special season for Nebraska, given where they're coming in. And, you know, some of the stuff that I wrote about in that offensive breakdown after taking a look at the defense was, you know, there's kind of two primary ways you can move the football. If you boil it all the way down, you can be down to down pretty good and stay ahead of the chains and do it that way. Or you can be, you know, a really explosive offense. If all things being equal, if you could just choose and be like, we're going to be this, I think I would choose efficiency. It's just a little bit more static throughout the year. I kind of always equate explosive plays to 3 points or 3-pointers in basketball or home run hitting. It can be somewhat volatile. That said, Nebraska was more explosive than it was efficient last year. So if you use that as a starting point, they're probably closer on the big play side of things right now.
I think you could say they were more explosive due to the Belly G option pass, which
I was just going to say, you take out the Belly G option pass last year and the explosiveness would take a huge hit, I think.
That, and I mean, how many 45 to 50 plus QB touchdown runs did they have? Those out too. And
yeah,
sure. Yeah. You're an insider. So obviously me as a common fan and all of us as common fans know we've, you know, picking up Rayola and him flipping to us and some of the transfers through the portal. I personally think we have a lot of good things going for us for the offense, but any insider info about whether or not we have all the pieces that we need to take the next big step this year from where we were at?
Yeah, I think we'll see with quarterback. Like they're really being careful to slow play things, and you know, I think some of the like positives around Daniel Kalen are real. I think he's been good, and I mean, he should have been good. He was an Elite 11 quarterback. Like if he had been the only quarterback in Nebraska's class, expectations would have been pretty high. You just happened to get like one of the first or first in quite a while, 5 stars, depending on, you know, who was doing the counting in Dylan Raiola. And so far, I think all of the chatter out of camp is he looks the way he looks. I mean, even in the highlights, which the football social media accounts put out, and they're careful to include everybody. I mean, he just looks big. He looks advanced for his age. So I'd be surprised if he's not the quarterback, which is not breaking news to anybody. I think that's kind of everybody's expectation. I think the piece that is probably as big an addition is I think they feel pretty good at receiver. I mean, we know if you follow the press conferences, they feel great about Jamal Banks, the Wake Forest transfer, who had some really good production. Isaiah Nayor, we'll see a little bit more. He's coming off, you know, an injury really limited him at Texas, but he had an amazing season, like a big play season too, at Wyoming that got him to Austin, Texas to play with Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns, and then an injury kind of derailed that. And oh, you know, Texas is also loaded at that spot. So those two, and you know, we saw some really good things, I think, from the young receivers that were already here. I think Thomas Fidoti has a chance to be one of their offensive MVPs potentially. So I think they have the pieces in the passing game. Running back, I'm still not quite sure, and I'm not sure the coaches are sure at this point. They've just been dealing with some injuries, so they've been working through quite a few guys, a lot of whom are walk-ons at this point, but we'll see what that actually looks like in August.
That's great.
I love hearing anybody talk about my buddy Thomas Fedoni. I've just been waiting and waiting for that guy to just have a breakout season. So I'm all for it.
Hell yeah.
Well, Brandon, you had recently had an article about special teams. And I found it very interesting. You basically make the claim that while special teams is important, it's probably not on par with how important it is to have a really good defense or a really good offense. I mean, it's rare that teams have, you know, a good offense and a good defense. If they do, they're probably playing in the CFP. But you write, quote, "If you could wave a magic wand and grant your team excellence on offense, defense, or special teams for a season, you choose offense or defense twice as often as you choose special teams," unquote. Brandon, I think there are probably some Iowa fans that might like to have a word with you.
Well, that's completely fair. And Iowa is the unicorn here. So
they totally are.
Back with the defense. So this kind of became like the stories that you guys have been kind enough to ask me about has kind of became an unofficial trilogy of sorts. And it's just started with like, well, let's look at the top 10 defenses and see what they got from their offense and special teams. And of course, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia, they were plenty good. But three of those, so the Big Ten had six of the top 10 defenses by SP Plus, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska. Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska kind of stood out in that, well, Wisconsin's offense was middle of the road, Nebraska's was bottom third, and Iowa was literally the bottom in terms of efficiency, success rate, and explosiveness. But they get great special teams, and they've been doing it for so long that you know it's not a fluke. Like Iowa is kind of the one team where I look at takeaways and giveaways and just be like, ah, that's pretty random. It's probably going to regress to the mean, either positively or negatively, the next year or over a long enough span. They just keep doing it defensively with the takeaways. So they really stand out. It's the sort of thing where I would not advise any team, not that any team's asking for my advice. I would not advise any team to try the Iowa route necessarily.
right.
That said, sorry, this isn't an Iowa podcast. Nebraska special teams.
Fire away. Feel free.
Yeah.
We tolerate that slander.
special teams, I mean, it's been a problem at Nebraska for a while. I think the biggest thing with them, like, Tristan Albano, true freshman place kicker, so nobody's like, you know, throwing him out of the building by any means. Like, only hit 60%. College football average is about 75. Like, that makes a difference in a season where you're outscored by three at the end of 12 games, obviously. Brian Buscini was a little bit less consistent than I would have expected after a pretty strong 2022. And those two things, when you pair it with an offense that isn't going to move the ball like every possession, and I'm talking like get one first down, you know, that becomes pretty big. You get two first downs and you can all of a sudden you're given one of the top 10 defenses in the country 10 more yards to work with. Didn't happen all that often, or often enough, I think, at Nebraska for them to be better than 5-7. So you look for that piece of it to change. I mean, the thing with special teams is it's kind of, you can't help but notice it. You know, there's one punt returner back there. I mean, maybe there's two kick returners. Was it a good punt? Was it a bad punt? Or did it get blocked? You know, God forbid. And field goals, it's like, did you make it or did you miss it? So we call it the hidden third. I kind of liken it to maybe it's more about like a sixth of the game. So if we know the defense was good, and if you feel like you can lock that in for Nebraska, they will be good again. I would choose offense all the time in terms of, well, only one of these other two areas is going to get better.
Right. And I think at least from a fan perspective, I don't know how many times last season we said, God, if our offense was just average, we would be in really good shape. Well, in our case, it's like, okay, defense is really good. Let's not let the offense and the special teams be ranked in the hundreds. Like, let's get to like 50 or 60 with each of those. And then we're in business. But your article implies this, but you can't have two of your three main units, offense, defense, special teams, two of those three cannot be as bad as they've been and expect to, you know, have a winning season. So I appreciated your article. I thought there was some great insights and great research in there. And again, you know, you're so good, Brandon, at bringing these metrics and these SP plus things and other letters that we, you know, those common fans don't really know or couldn't comprehend, but yeah. I thought it's fascinating.
So, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I try to keep it from being alphabet soup too much, but you know, at a certain point, there's just I've done this long enough that there's come to be a couple of things that I trust a little bit. So they're going.
Oh, in. Absolutely.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny with special teams because being a child of the '90s and you know remembering very well the dynasty teams of '94, '95, '97. And then watching, obviously, since then and cheering for the Huskers since then, I feel like so many other issues in recent years, it's only been in recent years where it feels like these mind-boggling, I mean, first of all, like special teams, it feels like free throws. You just should, like, you just practice it enough and you should be good enough at it. Maybe you don't even have to be elite, just be, get the job done, be, you know, average or a little better than average at it. And we just haven't even done that. And on top of that,
yeah,
we have these crazy, I'm thinking of Cam Taylor Britt, who's, you know, Husker legend for life. Don't get me wrong, but the 2021 Illinois game, was that fielding a kickoff? I think it was, or a punt or something or whatever it was.
I think it was a punt. And it was like at the 2 or 3 yard line.
Yeah. Also in 2021 in the Michigan State game where, you know, the defense absolutely dominated and just bottled up Kenneth Walker III. And we took a second half lead. We were on, I mean, they couldn't move the ball on us. It was like we were going to win that game. And then, of course, gave up that mind-boggling punt return. Of course, the onside kick against Northwestern in 2022. We could go on. These are all just popping into my head. I don't even have notes on these. It's just been so traumatic as a Husker fan. And so I think that's why I think I'm bringing all these up. Sorry, Jeff, what's that?
Let's just eliminate the special teams. Can we do it like we do on like Madden or college football for PlayStation where we'll just go for it no matter where
25.
if we can just get our offense and not be average, yeah, we'll go for it on 4th and 10 from around 15. Get rid of special teams altogether.
Where I was going with that is I think it's resonated more in recent years to hear some coaches say you should have a special teams coordinator, you should treat it as an equal third part of the game. Mm-hmm. And it really hasn't even been average. So that's resonated with me as a fan, like, oh yeah, we absolutely should. But it was just, I think your data-driven way of looking at it makes a lot of sense. And like Matt said, you make the point, it's not that it's not important. It's just that you know, it's more important to be better at offense and or defense.
Right, and you can't let that 1/6 part, you know, because I liked that too. I'd breaking it down by plays, and that's really 1/6 of your complete game, if you will. Like, don't let that 1/6 be bad enough that it beats the other 5/6, right? Like,
yeah, right.
But and there's been cases where that's happened.
We found a way. We found a way.
Yeah. Nebraska will find
Jurassic
a way.
Park. Nature found a way.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's part of it. It was interesting to me. You know, Ed Foley is a good coach, I think, and I kind of look at special teams. Well, okay, my contention is it doesn't have equal weight as offense and defense, but I do think it's very often like a good sign of like what kind of team you have. Cause it's all about like detail and effort. So I was a little bit surprised Nebraska wasn't slightly better there because I think they are in the process of building a very strong and good culture. You know, Matt Rhule uses a word that I've often used when writing about some coaches who are no longer coaching Nebraska. And that's kind of craft. Like, you know, if you really want to do this, and I think a win in a place like Nebraska, you just kind of got to be good at it for the sake of being good at it instead of like, I want to be good at this so we can win games. And I think Nebraska's on that path, and special teams could be one of the places where you first notice that, because I think it lends itself well to that.
Well, I'm not trying to be negative. Maybe we're recording on a Sunday night, so maybe it's just the Sunday scaries. But when you were talking about, you know, if we could improve, you know, to about, you know, a 24 points a game or whatever, or 6 point differential on the offense, the defense, you know, the record should improve accordingly, unless we got some really bad luck. And the first thought I had was, well, we've had a lot of really bad luck in recent years. I'm not trying to be overly negative. I think we'll spin this in a positive way and say there's tons of room for improvement in 2024 on both the offense and the special teams. There's a lot of runway for this team to get way better after making a pretty good jump in 2023. Maybe that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and at one of these points, like, you know, even beyond like the close losses thing, which, you know, when I look at any other team in the country, I'm like, oh yeah, they lost four games by single digits. They'll be better this year. Like, it hasn't happened in Nebraska for quite a while, but they also have had the most bizarre, like, turnover behavior, like odds defying turnover behavior over really since like 2003. Yes. It's insane, but that 2003 defense had more than 40 takeaways. So maybe this is all just a regression to the mean for getting 40 in one season.
Thanks a lot, Bo. Well, so Brandon, the spring game is coming. It's less than a week away now, and I'm just curious. We talked to Evan Bland recently. And I don't know, I'd have to go back and listen again. Like coaches got to go back and watch the tape. But I don't remember, I don't think he specifically said this maybe, but I definitely picked up from him that like after 4 and 5 weeks of practice and no games, it feels like he was feeling like, you know, it's time to go ahead and wrap things up for the spring, and everybody's running out of stuff to write about and all that. In your experience, does it get that way in spring? Because as a fan, I feel like, yeah, it's not the same as being in season, but at least you got practice reports to read. At least there's position battles going on. There's coach interviews to read. So as a fan, it's always nice when spring gets here because you're coming out of the doldrums of winter and you got some Nebraska football, you know, information to consume. But from your perspective as a journalist, does it get that way this late in spring? Is it kind of tough to keep going with, you know, or to keep generating content, I guess is the way to say it?
No, I don't think it's tough to generate content. I mean, you know, I think the 15 practices in 4 or 5 weeks, if you're a beat reporter, particularly somebody like Evan, who also covers the baseball beat, which the baseball beat is, that's a lot. I mean, it's more games than you're almost going to get in any other sport at this level. Like, I get it. Like, I was always pretty excited for the spring game itself. And then I always kind of came away with it being like, oh yeah, this was just like really a practice. So I think I've gotten more calloused as the years have gone on in terms of like what I look to see and what I end up writing about. Like there'll be things that jump out to me just like anybody else. But I tend to just try to enjoy the spring game as much as you can. That said, you know, maybe at this point in the practice schedule, yeah, people are wearing down a little bit. I tell you what, it beats June. June's tough. Particularly if you write mostly about football, which is what I like to do. June and July, that's when it gets hard.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Brandon. We're not going to get into too much detail right now, but the Common Fan podcast has a very exciting series of episodes coming up. We don't have the schedule nailed down quite yet. It's definitely going to take up part or all of July. It may start in mid or late June. The distinguished Brandon Vogel is actually going to be joining us for all of those episodes, and we're going to have some other exciting guests as well. I'm not going to go into any further detail quite yet for the Common Fans, but just know when those dog days of summer come, and if you're like Matty O, you're a Cardinals fan, your team is in last place, you don't, you know, your baseball season, like you don't have anything, you're kind of done with baseball already because your team didn't even get off the ground. If that's the case for you, not to worry, Common Fans, not to worry, fellow Husker fans, because the Common Fans will have some really exciting episodes coming out. Just kind of delving into a topic, I guess it's a series of topics that are all related, however you want to think about it, that I think is of strong interest to the fan base. It's something that the fan base, in my opinion as a fan, never tires of talking about. So more to come soon on that, Common Fans. It's only April, So we're going to have more details soon, but pretty exciting stuff. I know as a fan in June and July, I'm always hankering for some sort of, you know, something football related. So hopefully that'll be of great interest to the common fans.
Yes. And it is only April, TJ. There's a lot of baseball left to be played, just so you know.
Yeah, so I don't know, are you going to take these random shots? People forget that Cardinals are in last place. I don't know. That's just...
Oh, I haven't forgotten. I know that.
I have to acknowledge that according to CBS Sports per projected strongest defenses in 2024, Notre Dame was number 7 projected. Nebraska was 8. So Notre Dame edged them out by just one spot. I just wanted to make sure we were aware.
It's probably because they played Mike Elko and Duke.
You're right.
Now A&M coach Mike Elko.
A&M Yell Squad leader Mike Elko.
Yeah, Yell Squad.
Right. Actually, well, the Yell Squad leader is Trevor Kendall. But one of the yellers is Mike Elko. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. Brandon,
Notre Dame jumped out.
Hold on. I would love to hear what Brandon has to say.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Please. Yes, I would love to.
Well, Notre Dame was one of those teams that showed up on the top 10 defenses list. Kind of jumped out to me as well. And I looked at when I put them beside their offensive numbers, I was like, these offensive numbers are really good. And like, why wasn't Notre Dame better? I mean, they went 9-3. So like, and I'm just not remembering their schedule off the top of my head. They had to have had like one, like, oh, you can't lose that game. Was there that game?
Who was it? They should have beat Louisville. That was one of those ones it was a big game, but they should have won it.
Didn't they lose like all three kind of relatively early, and then they or like early ish, and then they kind of rallied late?
That's how they do it. I feel like they do that every year. They rally late in the season to make it into a overwhelmingly positive year. But yeah, it's with Marcus Freeman. Give him some time. He'll get things worked out. It'll be fine.
Yeah. No, it's actually like the least surprising thing ever, because for 30 years, they're usually the most overrated team in the country going into the season. And then reality catches up with them. I don't know when, you know, whoever's doing these rankings will catch on, but, you know.
Whatever, TJ, that's enough. All right. Enough. Enough is enough out of you. Brandon, real quick question. We've been kind of discussing this too. We're going to talk about it probably in another episode, but the schedule this year. Are there three games that jump out to you as like big, either must win or just big impact games in your opinion? I have my own, but I'm curious to kind of get an idea of a pro in the biz of what they think about that.
Jeff, don't share yours because we're going to talk about that for another episode, but I'd love to hear.
I'm not going to say. I won't. Yeah, okay. Me too.
I mean, I kind of took a look at this when the initial SP Plus ratings came out and based on kind of the win probabilities you can infer, or at least I infer from them. But I'll kind of put that aside. I think the Purdue game is actually a big one. With where it falls in the schedule, it's a game where, based on what we think about those teams now, like Nebraska should be a pretty solid favorite. It's first time they go on the road, I believe. So that'll be interesting. I think the Colorado game is one that gets pretty interesting early. And then to choose one late, I'm not choosing any of Nebraska's biggest games here because, as Matt Rhule has said throughout, he's like, we're a 5-7 football team. So, you know, you kind of got to treat them like that. I think the Wisconsin game late. Wisconsin's a super interesting program to me at the moment. I mean, they've always been super interesting, but I'm very curious at like which way that thing goes.
Can you elaborate on that?
I mean, so to put it in the context of some of the numbers we talked about here, Nebraska and Wisconsin, very, very similar, which I think, you know, we saw when the two teams went to overtime. Wisconsin was a team that really on offense ran the ball quite well in terms of staying on schedule. That said, we knew all offseason they brought in Phil Longo from North Carolina, the offensive coordinator, who, you know, is kind of considered, well, he has air raid roots, and they threw the ball like 54-55% of the time. And we knew going in that was going to be kind of a, well, it's an odd fit for Barry Alvarez era Wisconsin. And how was that going to work? And, you know, Wisconsin kind of scuffled to 7-5 and lost their bowl game. And now here they're back again. And we'll see what it's like. They've had a couple of guys jump in the portal right away in the first week. You know, it's just it's an interesting one under Luke Fickell, in that I don't feel like I have a great feel for which way they're trending after year one, as opposed to in Nebraska, which of course, like, you know, I follow and cover kind of like in minute detail. So maybe this is always going to be the case, but like I have no doubt like which way Nebraska I think is trending, and it's trending up. So it makes Wisconsin interesting. You know, this is kind of their. It's a little bit like the Bill Callahan switch, in that not only did they make a coaching change, which they'd been through, but Alvarez was also out. So it was also an AD change. So it's an interesting kind of pivot point, I think, in the history of Wisconsin football.
God, we just got to beat them at some point. It's been since 2012. Beat Wisconsin, for crying out loud. And we've had some multiple overtime games now, multiple close games, and we just can't figure it out.
Didn't I say during our pick'em episode
it's one of those things
going to be a scary game? No, nobody ever listens to me. The pros are telling
me.
You're
right, Jeff.
I
was not listening, and I don't know what you said, actually. But
you guys scoffed.
I'm sure you didn't say that.
I don't either.
You'll learn. You're going to learn.
Sorry, Matty O, were you saying something?
No, I'm just saying I don't listen to Jeff either. I mean, he's trying to convince me that. I mean, I'd listen to Brandon telling me that Purdue's going to be a tricky game, but you know, I think I vaguely remember GF saying that it was going to be tough going into West Lafayette to play, and I just kind of chuckled at the fact that like West Lafayette is a
really nobody tough listens
place to
me,
play. But really anywhere for us lately has been a tough place to play. So
doesn't really narrow it down. Well, and since Brandon mentioned Colorado, we reminder that when the team lands in Lincoln. We know what Coach Prime is going to say, right? We ain't coming no more.
We ain't coming no more. We here.
yeah.
All right, guys. Brandon, awesome conversation as always. Matt, Jeff, do you guys have anything else for Brandon Vogel tonight?
I'm good. Just thanks again for joining us, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And thanks for all your time. I know it's not, we do things in different time zones, so I know it's later where you're at. So we do appreciate your time and effort. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Always a great conversation, Brandon. Really appreciate it. Check out The Counter Read, common fans, thecounterread.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Get your Husker fix from Brandon Vogel and Aaron Sorensen. It'll be well worth it. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Common Fan YouTube page. And you can check, you can find us on YouTube by just searching Common Fan Podcast, or it's youtube.com/@CommonFanGBR. Thanks for joining us as always, Common Fans. Enjoy the spring game. We'll talk to you soon. GBR for life. Thank you.